Oh, somebody put their hands together for the Lord. Amen. 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 Church, are you ready to receive? I didn't hear you. Are you ready to receive? I am ready to receive. I've got all my faculties open. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Amen. Church, shall we be on our feet as we welcome the spiritual father of the ministry, the Reverend Cephas Kafui Agbesi. Put your hands together, somebody. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Shall we please close our eyes? Just begin to speak to the Lord this very evening. Open your mouth. Just speak to the Lord. Just speak to Him. Just speak to Him. Talk to Him this very evening. Just talk to the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, we bless you. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise. This very day, O God, tune our mind unto you. I ask, O God, let this atmosphere be saturated with your presence. I come against every work of the enemy, every occult methodism. I destroy it by the blood of the living Christ. Every psychic phenomena, O God, let it tend to confusion. This very day, upon these grounds that we stand, O God, release angelic activities and operation. I submit myself into your hands. Use me, O God. Let me decrease that you increase. Let my utterances be transformed. May I not speak, O God, with the utterance of men, but may I speak with the utterance that cometh from above. I pray that my word will not come with the enticing ways of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration and of the power of your spirit, that the faith of your people will not stand in a man, but it will stand in you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Shall we be seated? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you for being here this very morning. Jesus. I'm going to go back on my subject and I'm going to conclude my subject this very day. The reason why I'm doing this on a Sunday due of the importance of attending Bible studies. It's of very, very high importance that you attend Bible studies. The things we are learning and the things that we are studying, believe me, are the things that will benefit your spiritual development. The subjects that we are talking about, it's okay, don't touch that thing again. Amen. The subject we are talking about is very, very crucial. And even that, Reverend Achapa has been speaking on the foundational series. These are basic series which are essential for the development of the believer. And we are on the subject of the laying of hands, and there is only one session left to complete the laying of hands. That's true, right? Yes. And I believe after that, we are moving on to eternal judgment. Oh, is that so? The resurrection of the dead. And these are things that you want to know. It is very, very important that you know these things. It's very, very important that you know these things. Therefore, what I'm just giving, usually when Reverend Achap is not around, I do what I call a commercial break in the Bible study series. In other words, I just inject something in the middle. Amen. And for the past few weeks, I've been talking about the subject of the artificial prison of the mind. And I want to conclude that series today. Let me see where I am. And I want to conclude that series today. Unfortunately, I have a very bad PowerPoint on the screen for you. It's not as big as I expected. But we're going to conclude our series today. Turn your Bible, please, with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. The book of Romans. Okay. The 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let me see what is happening here. Romans chapter 12. Romans the 12th chapter. Are you there? Okay. I apologize for the PowerPoint. It's not as big as I wanted to, but in the doing the PowerPoint, I made a mistake over there somewhere by using the wrong size. So don't worry, I will still be reading to you and I will still be speaking to you. So let's just pretend like the PowerPoint is my notes and I have it open as an open book. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans the 12th chapter. Romans the 12th chapter. I will ask of you that you write down notes. I said to you before that if there is any part of your body you should not trust, it's your brain. You should never trust your mind. Write everything down so that at least you have registered information. How many times have you forgotten your password? Some of you even forget your date of birth. You can't trust your mind. You can't trust your mind. So never go to a gathering where important things are being said. Never go to a church and you do not have a pen, you do not have something to write with, a paper to write with. Always have something to write with. Do not assume that your mind can carry it. Never assume that it will be the biggest mistake you make in your life. Ideas are not easy to come by. So whenever an idea comes into your mind, write it down. Write it down. Amen. Romans, the 12th chapter, the verse number 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." He said, do not be conformed. He said, and be not conformed to this world. This today I'm talking about the subject conforming to his image. Conforming to his image. The his there stands for Jesus. Conforming to the image of Christ. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Rome. And after he has spoken about certain doctrines, he begins to instruct them concerning their salvation and how to move on from there. And he said unto them that, be ye not conformed to this world. The problem with our Christianity is being conformed. Before I go on, I'll give you some definitions that we shall deal with today. Now, these are things I will talk about as I have highlighted over here. The first thing we will be talking about is, what does it mean to be transformed? Paul instructed them that they be transformed but not be conformed. So we shall be playing around the word conform, confirming, or being transformed. We shall also be talking about what is the goal of transformation. What is the goal? Why is Paul asking us to be transformed? Why is there a need for every believer to be transformed? And we'll also be talking about where does transformation take place? How does transformation occur? Where does it take place? Number 4, we'll be talking about the subject, what does one do in order to experience transformation? What does one do in order to experience transformation? Now I want to I need some water. I'm sorry. My voice is a little bit choked. Now I want to caution you a little bit as we go forward. Like I said, I am talking about the mind. The problems with the human mind. Friday I tried and we went into the spiritual warfare of how to receive deliverance from the mindset of being conformed to the world. I gave you a couple of symptoms that shows that your mind is in bondage or your mind is in prison. And as a result of this, you need a transformation. You need a transformation. And for the benefit of those of you who are here this morning, I don't want to go back to the subject because my time is limited, but I want you to keep in mind that your mind is a very unique thing. Your mind is the seat of your soul. Your mind is the seat of your volition. That is where you make your choices. The only thing in opposition to the will of God is your mind, your soul. So if your spirit has control of your mind, that is when you are aligned with the will of God. But if your soul has control of your mind, then your choices are polluted. Your choices are not in line with the will of God. I told you before that when a Christian is born again, your spirit is born again. And when your spirit is born again, there is a responsibility that is required of you, that your mind be transformed. In other words, your mind was not born again, but your mind is to be aligned with your spirit. In other words, you are to begin to initiate the born again spirit in you by the transformation of your mind. How do I know that your mind is in prison? How would you know that your mind is in bondage, or your mind needs to be released? It's when you have what I call a self-created fear. Fear. Where you create fear around you. The fear of things happening to you. The fear of things which do not exist. You have a low self-image. You have a low self-esteem. And all kinds of things. You have what I call the failure concept. The failure concept. You think in your mind that you are going to fail. You think in your mind that you are not going to make it. Whenever you are about to take an exam or something, your mind begins to tell you that you will fail, you will not pass it. You are going to an interview, your mind begins to oppose what you are doing. You have that failure concept inside of you, and it is an indication that your mind is in bondage. You have what I also call the cycle of the sinful nature. The cycle of the sinful nature. And that is going to be the subject of what I will be dealing with today. The subject of the sinful nature. You go through a cycle of repentance. A cycle when you are not able to change. A cycle where you premeditate your sins. You tell yourself, I am going to do it and I'll pray about it and God will forgive me. And so you repeat the cycle over and over and over again so that you do not come to the point of maturity. You do not come to the point of Christian growth. You have this thing where you go through the shadows of death, where you feel like you want to commit suicide, you want to kill yourself, you want to die, and all kinds of this indicates that your mind is in prison and your mind needs deliverance. Where you get to a point and you tell yourself, I am tired of life. I am fed up of life. It means that your mind is in bondage. Your mind is not aligned with the will and the purpose of God for you. Because the spirit of God is not a spirit of bondage. The Bible said, whoever Christ set free is free indeed. So that once Christ has set you free, you do not go to the bondage of your sins. You do not go to the bondage of that self-created illusions and delusions, telling yourself that you are about to die. You feel that then. It tells you that your mind needs deliverance. You get to a point where you go through what David went through. And David said, I went through the shadows of death. Shadows of death. You feel death around you. You feel death around you. But David was able to transform his mind by saying unto himself that, yet though I go through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil, for thou, O God, art with me. In other words, his mind is transformed. It takes a transformed mind, a renewed mind, to make such a confession. But if your mind is in bondage, if your mind is conformed to the things of this world, you will not be able to make such things. You'll be depressed. You'll be confused, depressed. And you want to do something to yourself. You go through the shadows of reptiles where you sleep. You see things sleeping next to you and all kinds of things. You are sitting down. You feel like there is a snake around you, but nothing is there. Or you are sleeping, you feel like somebody is sleeping next to you, but nobody is there. Your mind is playing games with you. It is an indication that your mind is in bondage and your mind needs to be given to Christ. Your mind needs to be given to Christ for you to be delivered. So we go back to the scripture, and this is what I'll be talking about. What does one do in order to experience transformation? Which is the last thing I'll be talking about. What does one do in order to come to the transformation that Paul is talking about when he said over there in the scripture that, and now therefore be transformed. No, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed. I don't know why this thing is playing me today. Let's move on. Okay. So I'm dealing with the word transformation. Transformation. And I want to give you some definitions before I move on. It is a Greek word, metamorpho, which means to change into another form. To change into another form. It means from which comes the word metamorphosis. Used to describe a change of form when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. And I'm going to talk about the caterpillar nature of the Christian and the butterfly nature of the Christian. Some of you are still caterpillars, but yet still you are saved. In other words, you do not mind the things that are above, but you mind earthly things. There is a difference between the caterpillar and the butterfly. The caterpillar is an earthly animal. It walks on the earth. It minds the things of the earth. It is on the earth. Everything it does is on the earth. And many of us believers have the caterpillar nature. We are not transformed. We are not changed. Our nature is still the same. Even though we say we are born again, we are still behaving like caterpillars. In other words, we are still doing the things of the world and still convincing ourselves at the same time that we are saved. The places we hang around, the things that we do, our character, our behavior, our habits, and the nature that we show around people indicates that we are caterpillars. We are not Christians. We have not reached the stage of the butterfly. You see, a butterfly used to be a caterpillar. Are you hearing me, somebody? A butterfly used to be a caterpillar, but a butterfly went through a season of transformation or a season of metamorphosis. And through that season, it died. And then it released its wings after death. And it left the earthly nature and went into the things that are above. I began this series when a young guy called me and he asked me one question that interests me most. And I used to mentor this guy a very long time ago. And he texts me the question. He still minds the things of the world. So he texts me the question. In Colossians chapter 3, the verse number 2, he said that the Bible says that set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things that are earthly. That is what he said. He quoted the scripture to me that the Bible said, set your mind on the things that are above and not the things that are beneath or earthly. Then he asked the question, Pastor, how can we set our mind on the things that are above if we have not been above? And that is the question he asked. And when he asked that question, immediately I felt a need to take the subject in a different way. The reason is because he's not asking about how heaven looks like. When the Bible says set your mind on the things that are above, we are not talking about how heaven looks like, how heaven is cold, and all kinds of things. We are not talking about the riches of heaven. No, that's not what we are talking about. It's just like, for instance, how do you set your mind if someone lives on Jupiter? We have never been to Jupiter before. How do you set your mind on the character of the people in Jupiter? If we have never been there before, we don't know how the people in Jupiter looks like, how they think like, how do we set our mind to behave like them? So the question therefore is, how do we set our mind on the things that are above, the things which are in the kingdom of God, the things which are in the abode of God? How do we set our mind on those things? And that is the nature of the caterpillar. After it was born again, after it was transformed, and it left the stage of being a caterpillar and became a butterfly, now it stopped landing on the ground and eating from the ground. Now it started eating. Prior to that, the caterpillars, they eat leaves. But when they become a butterfly, they eat nectars from the flowers. They eat things which are flesh, things which are very cold. They eat things which filled their soul, their spirit. So you come to a point between the differences of these two things. And I'll get back to that later. I just want to give you definitions. Now, when we talk about transformation, we are talking about the same thing that happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, the verse number 1 to 2. The Bible said, and while Jesus was praying, the Bible said he was transfigured. In other words, he left the earthly nature into the heavenly nature. And the Bible says that, and he received a visitation from the heavenly nature. The Bible said that, and Moses and Elijah came and visited him. The Bible said he was transfigured. And the disciples saw him, and they made a confession, and they said, no, this is too good. In fact, we should stay here forever. See, when you come to that stage as a transformed Christian, you don't want to go back. And I will talk about certain natures of the caterpillar. Those of you who claim you are saved, and those of you instrumentalists, and you are still listening to reggae and all kinds of things with the excuse that it helps you play better. It helps you get the right sound. You are not changed. You are not transformed. It is the mind of the caterpillar that goes back on the earthly nature. Because once you are transformed, you do not mind the things of the earth any longer, but you mind the things of the spirit. Now you begin to read the things of the spirit to edify your spirit. I'll come back to you. What is to happen to the Christian in their service to God when you are transformed? We will know that through your service to God. When you are transformed, we will know that by your nature, the way you come to church, the way you attend Bible studies, the way you go to prayer meeting. When a believer is transformed, we will know it. We will know it. You can't tell us, oh pastor, as for me, I pray at home. No, that is not a transformed Christian. That is a caterpillar Christian. The Bible said, and do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. So when you are transformed, it shows on the outside. So pastor, for me, I pray in my heart. No, if you pray in your heart, it will show on the outside. If you read the Bible, it will show on the outside. So we can look at your nature and determine that you do not read the Bible. Because if you study the word of God, you meditate on the word of God day and night, it will show in your nature. You will be transformed. Your service as a believer will be changed. So therefore, that is the definition of what it means to be transformed. But this is the idea that Paul gives. Christians are to undergo a complete change, which under the power of God will find expression in character and conduct. That is the definition of vine in transformation. It does not interest what I want to say, but I want to put it out there for you. We who are caterpillars are to become butterflies. I spoke about that. Know that Paul uses the passive voice. He said, be ye transformed. That is in the passive. That is a command given to you that you must initiate the transformation. He said, be ye transformed. Indicating that transformation is something we allowed to be done on us. Are you hearing me, somebody? In other words, when you are born again, you are not transformed. But you are born again. And I gave you the illustration the other time that Jesus went to the grave of Lazarus. And the Bible said Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Let me say 4 days. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus and says, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible said, he that was dead came forth. Listen carefully. The Bible said, he that was dead came out of the grave, but the Bible said he was bound from head to toe. And many of us, despite the fact that we are born again, or so we claimed, we are still bound from head to toe. And because Lazarus is bound, his movement is bound, his behavior is bound, he is still covered in grave clothes. In other words, even though he has been resurrected to new life, he still thinks he's dead.
His eyes have been covered. He cannot see well the way that a believer is supposed to see. So Jesus gave the instruction unto them, loose him and let him go. Because if we allow him to remain this way, it is not enough that he is resurrected, but you must loose the man and let him go. And many of us, there are behaviors and natures that we must loose. There are things that we must let go. We must play an active role in our transformational process. Like I said, the initiating belongs to you. Okay. Now, let me go back a little bit. And let me talk about the concept that Paul is addressing. When you are transformed, and I'm going to stay here for a while. When you are transformed, it means that you are changed into another person. When you are transformed, it means that you are changed into another person. You have received another character. You have received another behavior trait. Your transformation is known. The evidence that you are saved and you are transformed is when you become another person. Galatians chapter 2, the verse number 20, Paul made a statement and said, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I died with Christ. Now, these were elementary scriptures, scriptures that used to be at the lips of every believer who was born again. And we walk by these scriptures, but now we do not have these scriptures. Many of us are saved, but we do not have these scriptures on our lips. That is why we are failing in our Christian lives, because these are basic scriptures, elementary scriptures, that every believer should have them on their tongue. David said the other time, wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto the word of God. But if I don't know the word of God, how can I cleanse my way? If I don't know the word of God, how can I be transformed? If I don't know the word of God, how do I know that the voice I'm hearing in my mind is the voice of the devil? And how do I respond and say, it is written? But I have to know the voice of God, the word of God. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I died with Christ. Nevertheless, he said, I live. What a confession. He said, I am crucified. Nevertheless, I still live. Now, how do I live? He said, it is no longer I that liveth. See, he has moved from that born again stage by coming to the point of transformation, a different person, by saying that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not I that liveth, but it is Christ who lives in me. The person you are seeing is Christ. My behavior is Christ-like. The way I conduct myself is Christ-like. The way I do things is Christ-like. It is an indication that I have been saved. I have been transformed. That is what he means by that transformation. So I'm dead. I'm dead to my old nature. I'm dead to the parties I used to go. As a believer, if you are still concerned about whether to go to a party or not, then you are in bondage with your mind. There is something wrong with your salvation, because you should not be debating about that issue. You should not be thinking about that issue. There are certain natures as a believer where you should know that it's no longer you that lives, but it is Christ who lives in me, Paul said. He said, Christ lives in me. In other words, when I look at myself in the mirror, from now onward, I don't see Kafui, but I see Christ. I see Christ that lives in me. In other words, there were some things I used to do, but I can't do them no more, because my old nature is dead. My old self is no more, but this is Christ. Christ will not go to that place, so I will not go to that place. Christ will not sit with this association, so I will not sit with this association, because I myself, I am dead. I am living the life of Christ. The life I am now living is Christ. It's not my own life. It's not my own life. But the life I am living is what? Christ. In other words, the things I am doing must be of the Christly nature. This is what shows that I am born again and transformed. He said, let this same mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Philippians 2:5. He said, let that same mind, if somebody is changed, if you are transformed, he said, the same mind that was in Christ, let it be in you. There are certain things you are doing. You should be asking yourself the questions, what will Christ do? Because it's no longer your mind, but the mind that was in Christ Jesus has now been given to you. The Bible said, be transformed. It is in the passive, telling you that you have to do it yourself. You have to apply the Christ nature inside of you. You have to allow the Christ nature to work in you. So let that mind that was in Christ. You see, most of our Christian life is lived out of sight. Most of our Christian life is lived out of the church. You only come here on Sundays. If God helps you, you come here 2 times a week. So most of our Christian life is lived out of church. Our Christian life, as somebody said, is like our Sunday clothes. You put it on, you take it off, it means your Christian life is gone after church. You go back to your old ways and your old nature. Nobody can tell the difference whether you are saved or whether you are still in the world. The mind of Christ is not yet in you. When you are transformed, you become what the Bible calls a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, the Bible said that if anybody be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things are past and all things are now new. These are scriptures which are supposed to be at the tips of your lips as a believer. If anyone be in Christ Jesus, he said all things, listen carefully. He said if anyone be, if anyone is in Christ, if we are saying that you are saved, we have reached a kind of Christian stage where people say, pastor, you people are too judgmental. Who told you we are judgmental? The Bible is what is judging the book. The Bible said, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, we are not the one judging you. You are the one who don't want to take responsibility as your Christian life. I was not there when you gave your life to Christ. I did not force you. Nobody forced you. You walk on that stage. I don't know what convinced you. Now that you went there, you must obey the terms and the condition of the rules of coming to the Christ nature. Nobody forced you. The Bible said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. If you chose the narrow path, walk the narrow way. Amen. Stop going to Broadway. Jesus. He said, you become a new creation. A new creation. Do you know what a new creation means? A new creation means that you are born into a different person. You receive a different nature. You receive the God nature or the Christ nature. The Jesus image. Oh, believe me. Sometimes you look at it like, oh, it's too much. No. It is good if you understand it. It is good. You receive the God nature. The Bible said that God made a statement in the book of, let me skip the scriptures. I wrote them down just so it will be there for you to read, but I have recited them for you already. You can do without it. So, the Bible said that God created man in his own image. We are talking about receiving the new creation. What shows that you are a new creation? What does it mean to be a new creation? Means that you receive the God image. Paul said, it is Christ that lives in me. In other words, I have the image of Christ. I have the image of Christ. What does the word image mean? Image means a reproduction of the form of a person or object, especially a sculptured likeness. Image means a reproduction of the form. So if you become a new creation, in other words, you are a reproduction of Christ. You are the exact replica, a sculptured likeness of Christ. From the word imagination, which means a mental picture or visualize. In other words, you have to see yourself there. That is why the Bible says, set your mind on the things that are above. In other words, you have to visualize on the nature of Christ. It is Christ that descended, and it is Christ that went above. Set your mind on Christ Jesus. Let your thoughts, your way of life be consumed by Christ. God said, let us make man in our own image. Image. Let man be like God. Let him have the likeness. Let him have the character of God. The image means that when I see that person, I see God. See, when you wear a boss suit, and the image that is imprinted on you, a Calvin Klein suit, the image that is imprinted on you, people know that is a Louis Vuitton or that is a boss suit. Because the image of the manufacturer is printed on you. And so by the image, we can tell what you are wearing. And so if you have the image of God, we don't have to interview you to know you are saved. We don't have to go through that. The image has to be imprinted on you. You have to be in the likeness, in conversation, in character. You have to be in the likeness of God. The image of God. When you are transformed, it means your identity is changed to conform to God's image. I spoke about that. Your behavior is changed. It conforms to the ways of God, the likeness of God, and the designs of God, the thought process of Christ, the mind that was in Christ when he lived upon this earth. That same mindset is upon you. Transformation will happen if our mind is renewed. So Paul said, now therefore, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can I be transformed? How can I get to the stage when I can live like a real Christian instead of faking it? How can I get to that level? Transformation will happen when the mind is renewed. Our salvation is not complete until we can renew our mind to conform to the ways of Christ. Your salvation is not complete until you can come to the stage where you can conform to the nature of Christ, where you can come to the stage where you can leave some things behind and conform. A mature Christian has his ways, his mind subjected to Jesus Christ. A mature Christian is the one that gives his mind to Christ. Transformation happens. It's 10. Now I want to talk about this renewal stage. And how to renew the mind. The process of transformation continues as we renew the mind. Unless there is a renew of the mind, any change in our life will be superficial. Unless we are renewed, unless we have come to the stage of transformation, I'm telling you why transformation is crucial for you as a believer. Unless we have been able to renew our mind, any change that took place in our life, which we call the born again or I'm saved, is a superficial thing. It's something you are just saying, but it has not really taken place inside of you. Number three, renewing the mind is made possible by where we set our minds. Where is your mind as you are seated in church? What are you wondering about? What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the food you eat at the end of the service? Are you thinking about the place you go at the end of the service? Where is your mind? Where is your mind? Some of you sit in church and the thoughts that run through your mind are filthy. Are filthy. Renewing the mind is made possible by where we set our minds. Where is your mind? Where is your mind? When you are by yourself, where is your mind? Where is your mind? What are the things that you do? What picture do you set in front of you so that you can incite your feelings? You know what I'm talking about. So that you can go through that thing, imagination, imagining someone in front of you and doing filter stuff in the process. Where do you set your mind? It means that you are still lacking renewal and you are in bondage as a believer. You need deliverance. Setting our minds on things above. setting our minds on things above. I spoke about this, that transformation begins when we begin to set our mind on the things that are above, or we set our mind on the Christ nature, the things that Christ will do. We will mind ourselves with the nature of Christ, setting our mind on the things of the Spirit. The Bible said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not live after the things of the flesh. We do not mind the things of the flesh. In other words, yes, we are walking on the flesh. Say, oh, pastor, it's hard. You don't know what you are talking about. We all live on earth. We all live on earth. The Bible said, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to men. In other words, it is common to all of us. It said, no temptation has seized you. So don't come and say, oh, pastor, you don't know my problem. You don't know what I'm going through. No. It said, no temptation has seized you except that which is common to all men. And the Bible said, even when we go through it, God will provide a way of escape. But you pamper yourself with your temptation. Oh, it's not going to happen. I don't know. You pamper yourself to the temptation. It means that you enjoy what you are doing. The reason why we are still there is because we enjoy what we are doing. We enjoy the sinful cycle. It's not that you can't stop. You don't want to stop. Feeding our minds with the word of God, prayer, fellowship, and etc. Transformation begins by what we feed our mind. What are you feeding your mind? Do you ever pray? Do you spend time praying? Do you spend time reading the word of God? Do you spend time going to church? Do you spend time studying the word of God? Going to Bible studies. These are things that will cause you to be transformed. Let me see if I have six over there. They have this self-help book. I was telling you the other day that you should try and listen to motivational speakers on YouTube, and you'll be surprised. You'll think they are in the pulpit and they are preaching. I'm telling you, you will think they are preaching from the Bible. Yes. And with over 80,000 people, one guy I was watching, and the things he was saying, he doesn't even understand what he was saying. But me being a Christian, know what he was saying. But he had 80,000 people listening to him because he caught just one word. We become what we think. We become, and it is about Proverbs 23, the verse number 7. Said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But they will never give the credit to the Bible. So they sit on the radio and they write book. And instead of some of you reading the Bible, you rather listening to these things and read these things. You rather read this, what they call it. What is this thing that is out? I forgot this book. This book, The Secret. You rather read that book. How many of you have heard of The Secret? You will rather read The Secret instead of reading your Bible. And they are messing with your mind, telling you things about the power of attraction because they don't want to see the Holy Spirit. And you are listening to these things, and as a believer, you are polluting your mindset concerning the things of God. You become what you think. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? As a man thinketh, so is he. You are what you are today because of the things you have been thinking about. That is why you are where you are. Sometimes we blame things on God. We blame things. The way some of us, we come to church and we force prayer as though it is God's fault. Oh God, if you don't do it, I'm not coming to church no more. Oh God, if you don't do it, I will not pay tithes no more. But the thing is, you started it. Where was God when you started it? You were living your own life when God was there. You put God at the backstage and you live your own life. You mess up your life. It took you so many years to mess up your life. One day you come to church and you want a quick fix. You want a quick fix. Pour the oil on me and let everything turn around. How long did it take you to mess yourself up to that level? And yes, instead of being obedient, subjecting your mind to the mind of Christ and let God take you through the process. Oh, you want it quickly. So as for me, church don't work for me. No. It's not church that has not worked for you. You are supposed to work for church. So as for me, church, don't work for me. No. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing that you want God to do something for you? Where is your life right now? What is the nature, the character of your life? We can change attitudes and behaviors by filling our mind with positive mental images. You can change things. That is what they tell you when you read those books, Secrets, Power of Attractions, and those things. They will set your mind on what is positive and you attract it. Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no. That is a psychic phenomenon. That's why some of you take yourself into some occult things and you don't even know that you are doing it. Some of you attract familiar spirits without even knowing that you have attracted familiar spirits around you. When you do these things, you are attracting a psychic phenomena, an occult spirit around you, a familiar spirit around you. In our effort, we are not alone. God is at work with us. Yes, it is hard. We all know it is hard. You are not the first person who has been through it or is going to go through it. Other people came before you and they succeeded. Now, let me say this. The alternative to being transformed is being conformed to this world. I'm talking about the only alternative to not being transformed. Paul said, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, if I am not transformed, I am a conformist. If I am not transformed to the ways of God, it means I have conformed myself to the ways of this world. And that word, to be conformed, is over there, the Greek word. Sustimetiso. Sukematiso. Sukematiso. That word simply means to be unstable. Simply means to be unstable. Your life is not stable. And that is the lifestyle of many believers in church. You are not stable. Today they find you in church. The next day they find you there at a party and you are the DJ. And you are in the church and you play the instrument. And you are in somebody's party, you play the worldly song at the DJ service. You are not stable. You are not stable. The places they find you. You are in church behaving like the altar boy. But when they find you outside there, you are the one leading the party. You are conforming to the things of the world. You are not being yourself. To conform means to imitate, to copy what is being done in this world. And you are copying these things and you are living after it. It's terrible. I don't want to go into that because it takes me somewhere else if I do. Number two, if not transformed, we will either be conformed to the world. Act like the world, be like those in the world. Will bring shame to the name of Christ. Some of us, we dare not go there. We dare, because people don't even want to come to church because of us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Some of us, we will leave church. And the conversation we have with people at the end of church service, the way we gossip about people, tell lies about people, talk about people at the end of church service. And you talk to the person and the person look at you. By the time you rise, the person stopped coming to church and you are still coming. You are still there. And yet still, you put things into people's mind. We bring shame to the name of Christ. Because we are conformed to the nature of this world. We are not Christ-like believers. Number three, you become an artificial Christian. You become an artificial, you are a fake Christian. You are fake. You are fake. Outwardly, you may act like a Christian, but and then it's like you appear like a Christian, but you are not one. You are not one. You can recite the Bible, you can talk about how you read it from Genesis to Revelation and all that, but you are not a Christian in nature. Your ways of thinking, your conversation, and your nature is not a Christian. You'll be a cheap copy, which eventually reveals its nature. Its nature. The original is always bad. When the copy is always bad when the original is in the house. You go on the street, see the kids playing basketball. They're wearing 23, 8. Everybody wants to be a Jordan. Everybody on the block wants to be a Jordan. That is why there is no Jordan up to now, because there is only one original. They are all duplicates. They don't have a sense of their own. They don't have an image of their own. Every one of them wants to be a Jordan, because Jordan is your standard. You can never move above the standard. That is why there is still only one. Because that is what they are thinking. They want to be like Jordan. So if you're going to be like him, you are a copy. And a copy is not better than the original. Take an original document, put it through the photocopy machine. When it comes out, tell yourself what you have. It's never better. So the question is, who are you copying? Who are you copying? What are you trying to live like? I remember, Kwesi, when I was in, I talked to Kwesi because he's a good guy. When I was in high school, when I first came to this country, I had my Levi jeans. And I like my Levi jeans. And I wore it to high school, and this Akata guy, African American, met me at the end of school. He said, "Hey, can you breathe in that?" I said, "Do you have air circulation in that thing? Because the pants were tight." You know those old Levi's? They were tight. That was 18 years ago. The pants were tight. Now it's a fashion. They are wearing tight pants, walking around, and they think that they are better off than everybody. It's foolishness. Foolishness. Just because a stupid boy stood in front of an altar and he started a tight jeans thing, and every one of them started copying him. Who are you copying? Who are you copying? So now, all of a sudden, they have air circulation through it. I don't know whether they have AC now. They put it in there so that they can feel it. Yes. I don't know when I was wearing it. I mean, they told me there was no air circulation. But now, that is what they all wear. Very, very tight. And you ask yourself, how did this guy even stretch his leg? Yes. Some of them, you see their legs and the thing is tight. Who are you copying? You are an artificial Christian. You are not authentic in your nature. Your character and everything is a copy of other Christians. Your tongues are copies. Copy people's tongue. It's all a copy. The prayers you say, everything is a copy. You lift up your hands and you began to utter words that you don't even understand. The efficacy of the blood. You don't even know what efficacy is. You start saying things, you don't know what it is. You are an artificial Christian. You are an artificial Christian. You are not real. You are not changed. You don't understand the things you are saying. And that's what Jude said in the book of Jude. So some of us say things to the devil and we don't even know what we are talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. He said, "I draw the bloodline of demarcation." Do you know what a demarcation is? Do you know what it means? You start hearing some words all over the place. It sounds so good. You start throwing them out in your prayer. No. You are artificial. That is what it means to conform. You are a conformist. You are not changed. Because you are not a real Christian, you do not have your own voice in prayer. You don't. Part I hate is the tongues. Everybody plays the same tongues. As hindrances. Yes. So therefore, I am not saying it's easy. There are reasons why many Christians do not get to that stage of maturity, that stage of renewal. These are the hindrances. Because if it was easy, many of you would not still be caterpillars. Even though you are born again and you have the promise of God, you are still where you are in your Christian life and you are not growing. These are the reasons I put over there. Can a mind be renewed on a starvation diet? In other words, if you don't go to regular Bible studies, you don't go to regular weekday services. You say weekday services is when you have chances to ask questions, when you have chances to apply yourself. You have time. Don't say you don't have time. I know what time some of you here close from work. You have time. You can make time for other things if you have to. Why can't you make time for your own Christian development? When it comes to church, I'm tired. I just came from work. Oh yeah, the devil is going to beat you up. He's going to beat you up. That's why things are messing up, because you are tired. Because if your pastor is sleeping and he does not pray, he does not read, and he comes and stand over there and talk, what do you think will happen? We will all go to hell. Starvation diet. Can a mind be renewed on junk food? You sit there, you watch any kinds of movies. Some of you Christians, you are still watching pornography movies. Still watching porno movies. You say, you are the one who is watching it. Oh, yes. When you come to church, it's funny, you know. When you say, some of you, your house is not organized. And someone say, amen. That is the one whose house is not organized. You are the one. You are feeding your mind with trashy things. And you are wondering why you are not growing as a Christian. You are wondering why you are not maturing as a believer. Look at the places you go. Look at the things you feed your mind. Look at the music you listen to. Because you are listening, it's nothing, pastor. It's just for the beat. No. The words they are saying is going to your subconscious mind, even though you don't know it. So eventually you will start talking like it. Especially when you are upset. That's why some of you Christians, when you are upset, the way you curse, the words you use, it is an indication of what you have been feeding yourself. There are some of you Ghanaians here, before you came to this country, you never knew the F word. You listen to hip hop, rap music, now everything F. Everything F. And every sentence has an F. How do you expect to grow like that? What are you feeding your mind if you want to grow? What are the things you are doing? When you leave church, what are the things you do? In the weekdays, what are the things that you have been doing? What are the reason why you don't want to come to Bible studies? What are the things you are doing? What are you doing? Because if it's a party, you find a way to make them. As for the flesh, the chill avert character. Why many Christians do not experience transformation? They become what they think, and much of what they think upon is not becoming. I said this before, you become what you think. That is why most of us are not getting to that stage of transformation. The things you are thinking about, where your mind is, and the things you are dwelling your mind on. Some of you Christians, you can pick a novel and you can read a romantic novel and finish it. But you can never read a Bible chapter and go through it. You will fall asleep. But if they give you a romantic novel, that is why some of you are so funny. Some of you, all you think about is marriage. It's the things you have been reading, the soap operas, the episodes you have been watching, that is why you want to get married tomorrow. You are young. Where are you going with your life? You barely have a way to supply for your own self, and you still want to put somebody's childhood through it. You can't take care of yourself. Where is this whole marriage thing going? Everybody is married. Your friends are married. Everybody is. So you also want to get married. Be careful what you put your mind on. If you think of yourself as a failure, you'll be a failure. If you think prayer will not work for you, it will not work for you. If you think that you have a low self-esteem, you will have a low self-esteem. I tell you, the reason why people sympathize with you is because you are pathetic. If you don't pity yourself, nobody will pity you. Some of you, you enjoyed being pitied. You enjoy when people are sympathetic. Oh, thank you. You see, nobody cares about me. Oh, thank you so much. Nobody asks him how I'm doing. You have issues. Why don't you ask somebody how they are doing? Someone always have to ask you how you are doing before you feel like you are loved. There is a problem with you. Our attitude and behavior is but a reflection of what goes on in our minds. We know what is inside of you by the way you are behaving and the way you are acting. We know it. The Bible says not what goes into a person that defiles him, but it's what comes out of him. In other words, by the way you are acting, the places you are going, the things you are doing outside among your friends and all kinds of things, everybody knows who you are. You are not a Christian. You are artificial. This is the appeal of the apostle, and this is where I end. He said, therefore, so that you will not be conformed to the things of this world, he said, I am charging you that you should be transformed. Submit yourself to the lifestyle so that you shall be renewed with the Christ mind. Behave like a Christian. Behave like Christ. The apostle sends down an appeal to each and every believer that you must be transformed. Because if you are not transformed, you will destroy your life. If you are not transformed, your life will be stagnant. If you are not transformed, you will live a hopeless lifestyle as a believer. If you are not transformed, you will continue in disappointments in life. People will disappoint you. He said, be transformed. Number two. He said, renew your mind. Renew your mind. My appeal to you is that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your mindset. Change the way you have been thinking up until this point. That is the problem with most of us. It's the way you are thinking. So, as for holiness, nobody is perfect. That is the Christian slogan. Nobody is, no one is perfect. That is where your problem is, your thinking process. The Bible said, and moving from the doctrines, the rudimentary doctrines, the Bible said, now let us go to perfection. The Bible said, be ye holy, even as God is holy. It's New Testament scripture. The Bible said, be ye holy, even as God is holy. You are going to heaven, you are not going to hell. So why are you saying nobody is perfect? Live right for your salvation. Fight for your salvation as though somebody is competing for your crown. Fight for it. The reason why most of us are not seeing fruitfulness in our Christian life is our mindset. There are certain prayers you can pray for yourself if your mind is correct. If your mind is right and you believe in what you are hearing, what God is saying, you shall be transformed. Today, may God bless you. May the Holy Spirit renew your mind. Let your mind be transformed from henceforth. From today, in speech, in conversation, may you speak like a Christian. May you walk and may you talk like a Christian. May you behave like a Christian. May your conduct be a Christian conduct. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. I pray that from today, when other people see you, may they be affected by your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, may your life be an example. May your life be an example that other people will look at and they will follow you to church. Jesus Christ, from today, may you set the standard so that your friends will follow. May you not copy other people. May you not be a follower, but may you walk the lifestyle of a Christian. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that from today, you will not do it because they are doing it. You will not sit there because they are sitting there, but the Spirit of God, the transformation of God, the mindset of Christ will be in your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, God bless you. Shall we be on our feet? Let's close our eyes. Jesus. Talk to God right now. I don't know where your life is. You are struggling with the transformation process. Your mind is clogged with thinkings, thoughts, which are not becoming of a Christian. You want to pray right now. Surrender those thoughts unto God. Relinquish those thoughts unto God. That as you are living here today, you will never be the same person. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. I will never be
the same again.
Just talk to him even as the choir
sings. I will never return.
Just talk to God. Just talk to God.
I close.
Be honest with God. Be honest with God. You know where your thoughts are. You know where your minds are. Talk to God. Talk to him. Just talk to him.
And I will never
be the same.
Be the same again.
Let's sing it again. I will never be.
I will never be
the same again.
The same again. I will never return.
Close the door.
I close the door.
I will walk the path.
I will run the race.
I'll run the race.
And
I will never
be the same. Be the same.
Let it be your prayer. Let it be your confession today. I will never be the same.
I will never be.
Tell it to yourself. Speak to your own mind. That God, I will never be the same. I will never be the same.
I will never
remember to that old nature. I will never do those things again. Tell yourself, speak to yourself. I will never be. I will never be. Oh, yes.
I will never return.
I
will close the door.
Oh yes.
Talk to him.
Talk to him.
I will never be the same.
Jesus, you are here this very morning. You are living a lifestyle that you know is unbecoming of a Christian. Beloved, it's not a rehearsal that we are doing. We are living this life for real. You are not rehearsing for a show. You are living a lifestyle you know it does not fit as a Christian. Your mind is confused. You are thinking things you are not supposed to be thinking. You are thinking about your obituary. How your death will be performed. How your family will come over. You are thinking things you should not be thinking. You are thinking about being a failure. You are thinking. You are struggling with your own spiritual life. Come forward this very day. Walk to this altar right now. Walk to this altar and let's pray. Walk to this altar. And tell God that you want to leave this thing behind. You want to leave this thing behind.
I will never
Oh yes.
I'll close the door.
Just come forward this very day. If it's your prayer that you will never return again, you will set your life straight with Christ. Oh yes. You have nothing to lose in this world. You have nothing to lose in this world. Just come forward. Let's pray. That you will never be the same.
The same again. I will never return.
You don't have to think about it.
Don't battle in your mind.
Let your mind be transformed.
I will walk the path.
The Bible shall be transformed. By the renewing of your mind. Make that decision.
Will never be the same again.
Jesus, if you are here, let's lift up our hands. Say, Lord Jesus, today I give my spirit, my soul, and my body as a living sacrifice, holy. As a living sacrifice, holy, holy, and acceptable unto you. From today, Holy Spirit, help me that my mind will stay on Christ, that my mind will be purified, my mind will be transformed. Let my thoughts be controlled, be ordered by you, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, from today, whatever you hear, let me hear. Whatever you do, let me do. Wherever you go, lead me, and I will follow. In the name of Jesus. Say, oh Lord, from today, I will work hard. I will press hard. To reach the call, to live a life that is acceptable unto you. In the name of Jesus. Say, from today, heaven is my witness, hell is my witness, people around me are my witness that my life belongs to Christ, my mind belongs to Christ. In the name of Jesus, I am delivered. Amen. God bless you. Church, lift up your hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you. Many, your word says, are in the valley of decision. Confused in mind and don't know what to do. I pray, oh God, let us see a change. Let us see an authentic transformation, that the lifestyle of your people shall attract unbelievers. That with our life, oh God, we shall start a revival around us. Father, let people look at us and let them see Christ in us. Help us. Each and everyone here who is struggling, today, Holy Spirit, speak into their mind. Bring them into that transformation. Whatever they used to say, let them not say it no more.
Amen.
The places they used to go, let them not go any longer. The things they used to do, let them not do it again. You give us the power. Now give the power for your people to come out of this. We thank you for deliverance. For whom the Son set free is free indeed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's put our hands together.